are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. 216-578-0850, the way to get on board with us here today. And we're going to start out the phone calls, and then we're going to try to do the CBD 53 with Israel in California. Israel, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
You got it, man.
Hey, I just wanted to ask you guys, basically, if Pryor makes a team and Bibbs does not make the team, isn't training camp and it seems like it's fake at that point. Bibbs deserves to make the team. Pryor showed us nothing, but there's that potential, and there's that Ohio State, so he's going to be kept. But if Bibbs doesn't, what else could the guy do?
Well, I don't think, first of all, it has anything to do with Ohio State, but I think in certain circumstances that, you know, yeah, training camp does matter, but there are extenuating circumstances, and it's a tough call. I think, agreeably, Bibbs did do everything he could to make the team. He put the film out there.
I think he deserves to be on this
team. He'll be on somebody's team.
Right, and the point that I want to make, training camp is not a proving ground for young players, or else that's what it would be called. It's not a scouting combine, or, you know, it's training. This is the grind for these football players and these coaches to dive in and digest and understand that playbook and get the repetition of the two-a-days to basically leave no stone unturned when it comes to what type of football team you have. Within those practices, a young player, because only 53 out of 90 can make this team, plus, you know, the 63, I guess, including the practice squad, have the opportunity, when healthy, to prove why they deserve a roster spot. So I understand where he's coming from, because you have a guy that essentially never practiced and barely participated in a preseason game going to make this team, and a guy who has not missed a practice and has showed time and time again throughout the four preseason games that he can play in this league and make plays and be a viable offensive weapon for us, may not make it.
And the same's true even at receiver. Josh Lenz has been productive, especially the last 2 weeks. He was productive at the Orange and Brown scrimmage, but he's not going to make the team over Pryor or Maley or
no.
Bo or anybody.
And that's why, you know, in some cases, you know, getting, you know, hearing the words out of the cow's mouth, whether it's Pettine or Farmer, speaking about the decisions that are going to be made to help us understand as analysts and fans why they did what they did. Because a lot goes into this more so than just their play on the field. It's how deep are you at that position? How much do they cost? What type of contract are they in? How can you delegate them as an asset, you know, throughout that, you know, your active roster and practice squad
and
team?
And potential. I mean, you know, no one's saying, I think what this guy was saying was, how is that fair? Well, it's not fair, but, you know, this isn't Pee Wee football where if my kid was playing with your kid.
Participation trophy.
Right, exactly. This is the NFL, and it's not necessarily fair. And I think that it's got to be, to a certain extent, in their mindset that, listen, we let go a guy last year that had super potential.
Charles Johnson.
And he's now a starting receiver for someone else. And that might be one reason that Terrell Pryor makes the roster. As dumb as that
scare factor?
Yeah.
Of losing another talented wide receiver somewhere
exactly.
else? I think it plays into it. A small percentage, but it plays into the factor.
It definitely does. I think that you are both right on the head there. Let's go to the phone lines again. 216-578-0850, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Phineas in Connecticut. Phineas, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
You got it, bro. How you doing?
Pretty good.
Is this a young member of the Dog
How old
Pounds?
Are you, bro?
I'm 14.
Love it,
you got
Phineas.
You got your own cell phone?
Yes.
Good for
Attaboy.
You, man.
No school today?
Hush, the guy's calling about important things like the Browns, the kid. That's focusing on all the wrong details.
We're going to give him his time.
Go ahead, Phineas.
I have a question. Why wouldn't you put Jim Dre at fullback to keep EJ Bibbs?
Because I think that they would say that Jim Dre is not a fullback. He's never really gotten even much time there. When they've gone H-back, it's been Barnage. Does he not have the mobility, Matt?
He's the U tight end. He's that motion guy, sometimes aligning in the wing or motioning in that wing position. And what a role is in this offense is essentially to help you capture the edge. If you're running that way, that zone scheme to help him overtake an outside linebacker or hook a defensive end or in some cases get up on a safety or support so you can secure the edge. I just think that the fullback in this system has to be a more athletic than Jim Dre is.
I think, and that's a point that I was trying to get at. And I think they like Malcolm Johnson.
They do.
So I think Malcolm again,
could EJ Bibbs play that position for this football team?
He does at times. I don't know if they think he's a good enough blocker. And but then again, you're cutting between two guys that you like that are young, Bibbs
and one's Johnson, a draft pick and one's not.
So it is interesting. Dino the Trucker, welcome to the show.
Hey guys, how you doing today?
Good man. How are you?
Good, good. Hey, you know, I was watching the game last night. You know, and unfortunately, well, Fatty Louie didn't have much time to throw.
He did not.
I think, the line didn't give him much help there yesterday. But actually, I was really impressed with that Josh Lems. And, you know, Matt, I mean, I think you would appreciate this more because, you know, you always seem like a guy who played with, when you did play, you played with heart and passion. When I see him, he kind of reminds me of a Julian Edelman.
He does.
I mean, he kind of corrects me if I'm wrong. I would hate to see the Browns, you know, cut that kid because I've never seen a kid to play with so much heart. And he was also playing the defense. I don't know if people noticed that.
Played safety.
They had him on the defensive end of the ball.
We did. And, you know, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. And to clarify that, Gerard Cherry, as a part of the Really Big Show, as I was making my way in here to Berea, was having that similar conversation, just talking about his experience with the Patriots and how a Josh Lenz may not make the Cleveland Browns, you know, may or may not make the practice squad here, but in most cases, because of who he is, his reliability, that you would make it work for the New England Patriots, and I think Tom Brady has a lot to do with that. Another guy from my experience. When I was drafted in 2003 by the San Diego Chargers, we signed a guy by the name of Wes Welker as an undrafted free agent and couldn't make that team in San Diego, and yet went on to Miami, did what he did, then he went on to New England, did what he did there, and ended up with Denver. So playing with, and it's all about the quarterbacks that you're playing with, but scheme comes into play, the evaluation process. Every general manager evaluates differently than another staff. That's why everyone's draft boards are so different. You know, what you look as as attributes as a wide receiver in one person's eyes is different than another person's eyes, and that just might be how we're looking. And I'm not saying we are, but at a guy like Josh Lenz, where we value him semi-low, and the Patriots could go, man, he's molded perfect for this position in our offense.
Right. And look, you remember watching the Hard Knocks with the Cowboys? Danny Amendola was on that team. Or the Hard Knocks with the Jets when Danny Woodhead was on that team.
Danny Amendola was a guy that when I was in Philly, they brought him into Philly. You know, and he was a guy that got released at the end of training camp. And look what Danny Amendola went and make, what, $30 million between the Rams and Patriots?
Playing very well for the Rams. And again, with Lenz, I think you got to remember, he was with Chicago, which was a team that for years was looking for that slot receiver. They let him go. He was with Indianapolis, where I'm pretty sure, you know, Andrew Luck would like him. He looked good, but in this room here, it's just going to, again, very tough for Josh Lenz. And you don't know what he's doing when he's going against as well, when he's going against the elite corners of another team. When he's going, you know, the thing that was a little bit concerning to me about yesterday is that Bo did play a lot, and he was playing against guys who aren't going to be playing in the NFL and didn't do much.
Didn't run away from him either.
Pryor didn't do much. Well, Bo, that's not his game, but I would have liked to see a little more separation from Dwayne Bowe.
Now, you came out very vehemently against this, but there were some reports out there that Dwayne Bowe's roster spot was up in the air, and you're very adamant that that's not the case.
Erroneous!
That is not the case. I put that to bed yesterday. Mike Pettine said in his press conference last night he is not in any danger of losing his roster spot. So I think that was just, you know, something was inferred from comments that were made, I think, probably to Solomon, and he, you know, took it a certain way, and I don't think that was the intent of the words that he was interpreting. So I think it's all been cleared up now. Mike Pettine spoke on it yesterday, and Dwayne Bowe's roster spot certainly is safe on this team. And there are 9 million reasons, by the way, that his roster spot is safe. $9 million of guaranteed money.
And, I mean, listen, from a everybody wants to think that they're good at their job, and I love Ray Farmer, and I think he is good at his job, but for Ray Farmer, like 5 months after he decided to sign this guy to then decide that he's not worthy of a roster spot just seemed very far-fetched to me.
Exactly.
And the one other point that I made in the postgame yesterday as Jeff Phelps and I were on the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network doing the postgame show, he made reference to Dwayne Bowe looking disinterested. And this is what I said in defense of Dwayne Bowe and for Cleveland Browns fans, listen to this. This guy has accumulated probably over $60 million, you know, in his career as a wide receiver. And I bet at no point in his career, even as a rookie, was he dressed or actively participating in the fourth preseason game, let alone playing into the second half of a preseason game. So for him, it was an opportunity for him to get his legs underneath him, an opportunity for him to show and get out there and get some live game reps. But mentally, his approach, and I know that I've been in this situation, when all your buddies are over there in street clothes, hat backwards, spitting seeds, you know, playing grab butt, you know, and you're out there in uniform running reps on twos and threes and guys in the NFL that aren't going to make a roster, you're not going to run full speed either. And you lose interest as that game goes on as well. So I don't think it was Dwayne Bowe's best effort. To be critical of him in his performance last night is going to be tough. But as you said, got to make this football team.
And I'll say this because I was on the sideline, so I got to watch him. He wasn't pouting. He was engaged with everybody. Yeah. He was hanging out with Joker Phillips. He was talking with Pryor. He was talking with the quarterbacks.
It's in his head, though.
He was in a good mood on the sideline and looked engaged. So that was good to see. When we come back, more calls here. Cleveland Browns Daily.
Oh, boy. Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.
Gesundheit.